It is fall, and again, I think as I looked at the Google homepage this morning, you know, kind of sleepy-eyed and over a cup of coffee, the first day of autumn, football, tailgating, and if you've ever been to Michigan State or to any major football game, you've noticed perhaps that there's a whole lot of activity that takes place outside of the stadium. I was intrigued by this when several years ago I produced a documentary looking up on airplane banner towing, and I realized that wasn't just what was happening above the stadium, but also what was going on the ground. Fascinating the way that people were dedicated and integrated to making sure they had an experience person to person. Well, it sounded like a great idea for a documentary, so I called on two of my colleagues here at Michigan State to give me some assistance as we sort of explored the science and the art of tailgating and why people join together. So joining me here in the studio, Ron Fisher, Michigan State Professor of Economics, who's researched the economic impact of tailgating, and Fred Hahnhart, the Director Emeritus of the MSU Archives, looking at the history of tailgating. And they're both featured in the documentary that we're calling Football Tailgating, Where Michiganders Love to Gather. It's a film that will air on WKAR-TV this coming January. Ron Fisher, Fred Hahnhart, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It was fascinating to me to realize that people come to be part of the experience of the football game, but don't necessarily attend the football game. Fred, I know you looked at the history of tailgating as it surrounded just the games themselves, and it grew over a period of time. Can you talk about that?
Sure. Perhaps the most start of tailgating actually did not involve a football game, but actually involved the Civil War. And in that case, the first Battle of Bull Run, which was very close to Washington, D.C., a group of people went out in their wagons and brought food to go watch the battle and yelled, "Go Big Blue!" In that case, supported the Union Army. It did not succeed, and when the Confederate forces overran the Union Army, there was a huge traffic jam as they fled for their lives trying to get back to Washington, D.C.
It's a lot what's going to happen to the Wolverines when they leave.
Let's hope.
East Lansing.
A little bias there. Yes, and subsequent to that, there was a Texas rancher named Charles Goodnight who developed what was called the chuck wagon. And the chuck wagon was a vehicle, in this case a war surplus carriage and wagon, that he converted into something that he could make into a portable kitchen so his ranch hands, who needed to be fed regardless of whether they were at the ranch or driving cattle somewhere, and combine those two things and you get the sort of the essence of tailgating, a vehicle to bring food and people coming together. And perhaps the first such instance was a game between Rutgers and Princeton, where the Rutgers fans wore scarlet scarves to identify themselves, and supposedly, at least the story is, they grilled sausages behind a horse-drawn carriage, giving the term tailgating.
Interesting. So what I'm hearing you say and teasing this out is that people love to be together around an event, and then food also augments that, and you put it together, and you've got a great phenomenon.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. Ron Fisher, from a perspective of dollars and cents, what does tailgating in the modern period mean for a city like East Lansing or the Lansing area?
Well, what's interesting, of course, is that many people who come to the game don't tailgate. People may just go to a local restaurant or a local bar before the game, maybe with friends, and many tailgaters aren't attending the game. So tailgating, the economic impact is hard to measure because of those kinds of things. It probably is smaller. The economic impact is smaller than most people think. A typical tailgater drives from somewhere in Michigan to a game in East Lansing or Ann Arbor. They probably bought their food at home, their drink at home. Then they've driven here. They filled up their car with gas when they were at home. So the amount of spending that they do in the community where the tailgating occurs might not be as large as you'd suspect. It may be actually that the people who don't tailgate but who come to the game and go to the local restaurant or the local bar, have lunch before the game or dinner after the game, they might actually be having a larger economic impact in the town where the game occurs than the tailgaters themselves.
So they're the ones who come and drop the bigger dollars. The tailgaters, through their preparations, may end up spending more,
they're spending money, but they're diffused. Not necessarily in the community where the tailgating actually occurs. The economic impact is probably diffused over a much larger area and may be actually concentrated in where they came from in their hometown.
Well, that's interesting. As I we looked at five football games last season in the fall of 2013, going from the Division III all the way up to the Michigan-Michigan State game. And the elaborate nature of tailgating, I think, really surprised me. I mean, we're talking about satellite dishes, televisions, those sorts of things, Ron. I see you smiling, but you've probably seen that take place as well.
Absolutely. And that's part of the story, that the tailgaters may not be going to the game. They bring their television and sit outside the stadium. As Fred says, they want to be part of the event. And they're watching the event, but they're not in the stadium. They're sort of next to it. And it's interesting because one of the things that surprises some people is that attendance at major sporting events, big-time college sporting mm-hmm. events, as well as professional events, is actually declining.
It is.
And it's an issue that colleges and the professional leagues are very concerned about. There's so many alternatives these days for people, and there's so many other ways to watch the game. You can stay home, watch on your large, fancy, flat-screen television. So attendance is becoming a real issue, mm-hmm. and so tailgating can work both ways on that. Is it going to be a way to encourage more people to continue to come to the games because of that game experience?
That's a good point. Fred, what's your experience of it? What did you notice?
As far as the tailgating?
Right.
It varies from very simple. As you said, incredibly elaborate. You'll see multi-hundred-thousand-dollar motor homes with, as Ron said, satellites and huge plasma screen TVs, and they never go into the stadium.
And this was at a Wayne State University game. This wasn't even, big-time Division I.
I ran into some interesting statistics following up on some of Ron's economics. Tailgaters spend an average of $500 a year on food. 70% of them are men. The majority of tailgaters supposedly are between 25 and 44 years old.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's young alums coming back for that experience.
Exactly. There was an article I read in which that was one of the big mm-hmm. sources. I remember one example where a recent graduate of the University of Nebraska who lived in Denver, would drive 6 hours to attend the tailgate so she could be with some of her colleagues.
We're talking, by the way, with Fred Honhart, the Director Emeritus of the MSU Archives, and Ron Fisher, a professor in the Department of Economics here at Michigan State. Yeah, people come from great distances. I encountered someone several years ago who flies up from Texas for every single home game. And another group, they lived in Mason. I happened to be in Snyder-Phillips at the same time back in the 60s. And their whole floor, or as many from their floor actually would have been Abbott, comes to at least one football game a year. They love to get together. And sometimes a football game breaks out while they're tailgating.
That's indeed a good way to describe it.
Ron Fisher, you actually teach a course in this area that certainly could touch on it, the social science of sports. Do you address this issue at all?
We talk a little bit about it in different aspects. The attendance issue, the behavioral issues that are associated with attendance at athletic events and tailgating. Mm. One of the interesting things is there's been a long involvement of the beer industry with sports, including college sports, and that's right. Part of the tailgating experience. It's not just people buying food. There's a lot of imbibing that goes on at tailgating events. Mm-hmm. And so this connection between the beer industry is really interesting. A lot of people don't know that in its fledgling days when it was nearly bankrupt, this new sports channel, ESPN, was saved because its first major advertising contract was with Anheuser-Busch. And it would have gone out of business without that.
Interesting.
And even since, you can't. Anheuser-Busch and Miller are two of the largest advertisers. And they've tried to integrate their experience with the tailgating experience. A couple of years ago, Busch produced cans of Busch Light that were in school colors and marketed them in each market around the country without universities' involvement, of course. And some universities objected
certainly
to having that kind of thing, try to encourage, not just encourage tailgating, but to encourage more consumption of beer at tailgating events.
Right, and the only time you should have green beer is St. Patrick's Day, right?
There we go.
Right. Fred, have you noticed the Jell-O molds that have come out? I know there's a bit of a controversy about having molds in the shape of a mascot or university symbol.
No, I must admit I'm not familiar with that, but I am familiar with the students who I see when we walk from where we park in East Lansing mm-hmm. to the stadium, and you'll see huge number of students out in the front lawn playing beer pong or other similar drinking games associated
right,
with the tailgating, and I doubt any of them attend the game. They may listen or watch, but they're having too much fun at their own social form of tailgating.
Mm-hmm. Ron Fisher, have you seen the Jell-O molds? I saw them in Kroger just in this last week. A bit of controversy as to whether it's not just Jell-O that goes into
those
molds.
And the use of the university symbols becomes very controversial.
Absolutely.
Just this year, Coors put up billboards around Connecticut, and I forget the saying exactly, Huskies like the cold, and they use the University of Connecticut athletic symbol in the billboards without the university's approval.
Mm.
Obviously, the university objected. The billboards were taken down. So it's a controversial issue of that linkage between the university's sports and the beer industry.
It'll be fascinating to watch as it changes over the next couple of years, the course of years. Well, homecoming is this weekend. It's time to buy the brats, fire up the grill, and if you're of legal age, get that beer and take in not only the tailgating, but the game itself.
And it's going to be a beautiful day.
Yes.
A beautiful day.
It's a beautiful day for a football game. Ron Fisher, professor of economics here at Michigan State University. Fred Hahnhart, director emeritus of the MSU Archives. Thank you both for joining me.
Thank you very much.
Enjoyed it. A lot of fun.